So we are, this week and next, how to be a Christian, or how to be Christian without being weird. Now, thank you so much to those of you who have already sent me questions about how I am going to preach this. Yeah, they're like, you're weird. And there's quirky weird, there's different weird, and then there's wacko weird. And so we're going to be talking about how to be a Christian without being a wacko. How to be magnetic, like Jesus was, without being repelling? Repulsive? I hope I'm not repulsive. I am weird. I do enjoy things and some of you have that weird sense of humor, and I enjoy sending memes back and forth with you and getting... I'm good weird. We're going to talk about good weird and bad weird this morning, because there are a lot of types of weird, right? Last week we talked about John the Baptist, and we were like, Bible pointed out he's quirky weird. Right? They were like, camel hair, he wears camel hair and eats locusts and honey. Find anybody else who's mentioned by diet. It's not there. He's quirky weird, but that's okay. Quirky weird is fine. There's like the weird scale. There's like the weird that goes from weird magnetic all the way to weird wacko. And so I like, if that scale is 1 to 10, where are we? And weird wacko to me is intriguing. And I study it. I gotta confess, I laugh. I do. I love to laugh. And I laugh at things. And I laugh at some of the things that happen under the umbrella of Christian. You know, and I think, where on earth does that come from? How do they get there from the word, from where we are? And so, me on Instagram, normally my routine is I will go to bed at about 9, and when Robin will come in and look, she knows I'm not asleep yet, she hears me laughing, because my normal routine is I scroll and I laugh mostly at animal reels. Dogs doing weird things, you know, this lady who has a farm where she has this emu that's always bothering her, and Knuckleback Farm or Knuckle something, Knucklebust, anyway, and I just laugh. I love to laugh. Well, sometimes the things that come up with the Christian circles have me also groaning and looking like, oh my. No wonder people are like, what in the name of sanity is going on? And Christians provide plenty of materials. Maybe you've seen these. Everybody do it. I was like, what? What is going on? What happened? I want to know the context of this. And they've taken that clip and they put it to a whole bunch of different music. And it just cracks me up. This one's good.
I've got the joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I want to dance like this guy.
I've got the joy
that's awesome. Okay.
Where? Down in my
and so
heart
you can look through. And I went on a rabbit trail while preparing for this sermon. And I recommend you never search for weird Christian or cringe Christian brings up a whole bunch of them, a whole bunch where I go, what? There are people like playing with snakes, like, and doing all these things. I'm going, whew, no wonder people get scared before coming in or getting them to come to church. When you invite someone to church, they might very well be imagining that. Like, is that your pastor? And you're like, no, he's weirder. You're like, no, you should think. You don't know what they're thinking when you invite someone to come, because they might be looking at their experience of what they've gone through, and there are a lot of hurt people that have been wounded over the years by legalistic churches, churches saying you're not good enough. Basically, the message is that Christ's death on the cross was not enough. You need to do more. And they've finally given up, or they're hurt and abused, or they've even been kicked out and rejected. You know, and so there's that. We don't know what the backstory is, but I think it's important we understand it. And that's why I love being outside in the park so much. The park is so... Listen, I tell people, stop by. Just go to the playground. Listen, walk around. We have people who walk. If you've ever noticed, they walk back and forth. And they're going to church. They're like listening, they're coming. We have people who show up and will be there for the music time that they're practicing. We've had people set out their blankets while music practice is happening beforehand. And it's so disarming. I'll invite people and I'll say, just come. And if it's really weird, you can leave without being the person that everybody's looking at. It's hard when you're here. And you're sitting here, and weird starts happening, and you go like this. And you're like, run away. Nobody wants to leave in the middle of something, right? Nobody wants to do that. And so it's intimidating to come in sometimes. And I love being in the park because you can walk by, you can plug in a little bit. We've seen over the years in the park, you'll see people sitting. First they're sitting in their car, then lawn chairs appear, but they're about 200 yards away. They're sitting way out there. Then they start moving closer, about 100 yards away. And then a conversation actually happens, and they come closer and come closer, and then they become part of the family. Or maybe some guy's riding his bike by with his granddaughter, and he decides he's going to stop, and they're going to just listen to the music, and he spots Ruth, and he's like, hey, I know her. Her son was my best friend, and then it becomes Biff, who is our does everything we do when we're cooking. He leads the team and everything, because he's riding his bike by with Ruby in the park. I love that. It's so disarming. So this morning and next week, we're going to talk about these three different areas. The difference between good weird and bad weird. And then we're going to talk about being attractive like Jesus, good weird, because it's different. All right? And then, we probably won't get to it this morning, we're going to talk about being an influencer of hope. Good weird, being that influencer of hope. And so I'd like to start off with this passage in John 17, 15 through 17. And this is what Jesus prayed for you. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Now, I know immediately if you're not accustomed in the context and all this, you are picturing the evil one like a Hollywood presentation. He's got giant horns, and he's green, and he smells like sulfur, and he's coming after you like, ugh. That guy is not really hard for me to avoid. I see that guy, I run away, okay? I'm like, yeesh! What we're talking about is the influence that goes against God's love, God's peace, God's mercy, God saying, be unselfish, be kind, be... That's the evil one it's talking about. Protect, keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world anymore than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them the word, which is truth. So that's where we take be in the world but not of it from. It's kind of like this. Picture you have a rubber raft and you're out on the water. It's got a small hole in the bottom. And you've got to keep bailing out your raft, right? You're bailing out your raft because the more water comes, the more the raft goes down and eventually sinks. So we, as Christians, are on that raft in the world, but we're trying to keep so that culture is not shaping us and forming us and making us the negative, angry, hateful, the people who have these ants all around us, automatic negative thoughts. We are swarmed by ants. And so many people live. They got an ant problem, man. And sometimes I have an ant problem. Automatic negative thoughts overwhelm me, and it just starts flowing into my boat, into my raft. What this is saying, be in the world, but not of it. Make them holy by your truth, meaning set apart in the way they see life. Set apart for God's purposes. Set apart in the way they respond, in the way their perspective is, in their goals, in set apart holy by your word, following your word by your truth, with you shaping them. You know that a lot of Christians see the world as their enemies. They're almost despised. They're to be defeated at all costs. And they avoid and miss the command that Jesus gave in Matthew, where he said, go into the world and make followers of Jesus. Go into the world and help other people discover this hope, this new life, the good news that was proclaimed that first morning that we celebrate on Christmas. You know, a lot of Christians, we separate and we get our raft, and instead of it being on the water, we're like, no, we're taking it right out of the water. We're going to be out of the world and not of it. So we're going to separate it and live in our own little bubble. This is one of my favorite video clips, kind of illustrating that. Some of you have been here long enough that you've seen it before. If they make another one that does better, I'll show it. But this Bubble Creek Canyon is based on that thought of so many Christians withdrawing and only being in our bubble with other Christians, which is a very safe place to be. It can be wonderful, but that's not where God called us.
Mom, where's Timmy?
He's gone to be with the Lord.
He's dead?
No, silly. He and his family have moved to Bubble Creek Canyon.
Do you dream of a day when you can drive to work without being forced to look at unchristian billboards and bumper stickers? When you can turn on the radio without hearing the electric guitar or some other horrible instrument of the devil? When you don't have to interact with bozos who have the audacity to disagree with you? Well, at Bubble Creek Canyon, your dreams can come true. Hello. Or as we like to say at Bubble Creek Canyon, heaven out. Bubble Creek Canyon is an isolated community nestled in 3,500 acres of magnificent and desirable real estate. Best of all, it's 100% heathen free. That's right, and you'll think it's the next best thing to heaven. At Bubble Creek Canyon, we use an elaborate screening process to ensure that our residents completely agree with our doctrine. No ifs, ands, or Buddhists. We're a heavily gated community with fantastic facilities, breathtaking sight lines, and Christianized amenities. We have a Christian shoe store, a Christian t-shirt store, a Christian underwear store, a Christian bank, Christian grocery, Christian car dealership, Christian pet store, Christian liquor store, and a Christian tattoo parlor. Temporary, of course. We have a nationally recognized school district and only one textbook. We also think you're going to like our library. Let this filth get in here. At the BCC Cinema, you can watch all the latest movies without worrying about the questionable content, because we removed it all. Every home comes with a spacious backyard with plenty of room for an optional baptism pool. Hey, pin the ear on the High Priest Soldier, one of my personal favorites. And each home comes equipped with built-in Christian signage. Just try to pull this off the wall. With our combination cable and internet package, you'll have access to ESPN, My Heavenly Space, GodTunes, Godopedia, GodGold, GodBay, GodCast, and The Sopranos. Every morning, a copy of our community paper will be delivered to your doorstep. And our publication is committed to protecting you from all that unpalatable bad news that's always happening around the world. Our landscaping company, Holy Ground, will make sure that your front yard is always impeccably manicured. We've added a new feature this year. Around the holidays, special sensors in the streetlights detect non-nativity ornamentation and act quickly to eliminate these unsightly eyesores. Bubble Creek Canyon. If God wasn't omnipresent, he'd probably live here.
All right, so as you leave this morning, there'll be somebody in the lobby helping sign up. This is being built, and it's one of the new developments. And, you know, every time I see it, and I've used that video for years, literally for years, because it just kind of says so often what happens in Christian communities. You know, there's actually a study, I believe Dan Kimball has it in his book, They Like Jesus But Not Church, about how oftentimes in Christian circles, the normal pattern is as we meet other Christians or we start getting involved in church life, then 3 years later, we're withdrawing more from what we used to do. 5 years later, even more. 7 years, we're in the bubble. And so we no longer have impact on the world outside us because Monday night is this meeting, Tuesday night is this practice, Wednesday night is this study, Thursday night is. And in my last church, that was what we were like. We lived there for 10 years, and I met our neighbors once. The difference now is my neighbors, like, I know every one of them, and they're like, you overshare. You know, we have our lawn set up with, you know, the fire pit out in the front yard with Adirondack chairs around it. Everybody else is hiding in the backyard, right? Privacy gates and all that. And we're like, y'all come. And now I've got our neighbor Leslie joins me in this. And so we're looking at a new neighbor who moved in, she and her daughter. And Leslie says to me, hey, have you met them yet? I said, no, I haven't met them yet. They haven't really been outside much. And we're sitting there in the Adirondack chairs, and one of the teenagers from across the street sitting there talking with us. And Leslie yells across the street, hi, new neighbor. Welcome. And the lady's like, hi. Yeah, she doesn't know what's coming this summer. She's going to be sitting, roasting s'mores, marshmallow, and all the different things. We create s'mores. I've been saving my Easter peeps. They're going to be sacrificed for s'mores. I have no idea how it's going to taste, but putting those on the stick. Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, good weird. Good weird attracts to good. Good weird attracts to good. Good weird looks like Jesus we see in the Bible. And I want to tell you, get to know that Jesus. Get to know that Jesus that you see, especially if you're new to all this, need a Bible, take one, it's yours. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say, who's this guy Jesus? What's his personality like? What's his passion? How does he act? What's his character? Find out who he is. Judge Christians by that Jesus. Don't judge that Jesus by Christians. Okay? Understand that again? Judge Christians by that Jesus. Don't judge that Jesus by the action of Christians. Okay? Good weird. Good weird says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. Good weird, love the marginalized, the oppressed. Jesus called them the least of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is what it looks like, that good weird. Love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wrong. Let's separate a word there. If we're to be the ambassadors of Christ, the ambassador of God's love, the ambassador of God's rescue, could we not put a different word in here? Christians. Christians are patient and kind. Christians are not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Christians do not demand their own way. Christians are not irritable, and they keep no record of being wrong. Ow! That made it a little too personal. But if we're ambassadors of love, if we're good weird, that's what it means. We're the ambassadors of the passion of our Lord, the mission he gave us. Good weird, following Jesus, produces what the Bible calls fruit. By their fruit you will know them. By their fruit. What kind of fruit? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit of the Spirit is not coconut. Yeah, right. I think Paul sang that for us in one of his messages. It was very good. It changed my life. Thank you for that. Make it a ringtone. Nice, a ringtone. Well, you look at this, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this is the fruit that begins by following Jesus that is growing in our lives. And you know, when I look at this list, nobody says when they meet this person, I don't want to be around that guy. I don't want to hire that guy. I hope that guy doesn't move into my neighborhood. But see, what I see oftentimes, because it's shown unfairly in our media, I see the ones who claim to be representatives of Christ that are angry. They're hateful. And you want to talk about rude? Holy cow, rude. Can you ever imagine Jesus showing up at a funeral for a military serviceman holding a sign that says, God hates fags? But there's a church of his followers that somehow believe that's what God has called them to do to change the planet. Do you know what? That's not God calling them. That's the opposite. That's the enemy, because that is repulsive. There's no one going to that funeral, no one seeing that on the news and going, I want me some of that. It's repulsive. You know, Christians, we should not be jerks. If you just want to write that down. Today's message is, don't be a jerk. Cut it out. Don't be a jerk. Too many Christians are jerks. In Mark 16, verses 14 through 19, and I referred to this as the wacko, you know, that this is what I mean. I was looking, and I saw this video, and I almost showed it, but I went, no. The people who are dancing with the snakes. There was a news report of a snake-handling pastor in this small church in Kentucky who died because he was bit by a snake. Oh, yeah, bit by a poisonous snake. And he had learned that by his father and his grandfather. They had taught him the faith of handling snakes. Do you want to guess how his father and grandfather died? So they've taken this verse and they've built a whole church community around this verse out of context which is talking about an accidental getting bit by snakes or happened to drink something bad for you, poison, talking about an accidental, and they've said, here, let me show you my faith. I'm going to grab a snake. Woo! Dead. I always wonder why they decided just the snake part of that, because you've got to take care of snakes, you've got to feed them. Why didn't you guys just settle on the poison part? Just be this week, we're drinking poison, 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 because it wouldn't last as long. And I look and I want to say, read the book. Read the book. See, Scripture tests Scripture. Scripture proves Scripture. We don't take one little verse out of context and build an entire thing out of it. We got to know the book. When you don't know the book, you're open, you're likely to follow anything. I look at Jim Jones, I look at David Koresh, and I think, how did this happen? How did these people fall into this? How did they sit and listen to this? Because they listened to a teacher who would take a snippet and then continue to build on it, and that charismatic teacher got them to go that way, to the point of drinking poison and committing suicide, to the point of fighting with weapons, to the point of being imprisoned. They took that. They took that out of Scripture. And so what happens is our neighbors look at that, our friends look at that, and they go, Christians are wacko. I look and I say, well, there's 2.6 billion of us. You get that many people together, you're going to have some fruitcakes. It's the same in the Muslim faith. 2.2 billion in the Muslim faith. And you can find wacko teachings there. Wacko. And you can find other teachers going, that the Quran doesn't say that. The Quran doesn't mean that. The Quran. And I look and I say, how does that happen? It happens when you don't read the book. A charismatic teacher, good speaker, can be dangerous. I am dangerous if you do not read the book. When I say something that does not agree with the book, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it and just say, don't just sit there and be like, oh, do you know that the Bible actually says that the Berean people, they had a more noble character because Paul would preach, they'd receive what Paul said, and then they would go home and check the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. If you're checking Paul, the apostle, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, if you're checking him, you better be checking me. You better be checking whoever the pastor is that you're listening to. You better be looking at that and know the book. If you know the book, then you know the Jesus of the book. And you start to see and say, does that look like Jesus? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it smell like Jesus? Does it have the atmosphere of Jesus? No, it ain't Jesus. It's the old, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. We've got to look and say, by their fruit you will know them. And it's okay to look at the fruit and go, wacko. Wacko. And it's okay to say that to our friends as well. When we have those conversations, to go, well, there's 2.6 billion of us. Yeah, you're right. They're wacko. You're right. And that's okay. See, look, and we'll kind of wrap up. We won't get to the last part today. But good weird is being attractive like Jesus. Look at this verse here in Isaiah. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. That's talking about Jesus. Do you know what Christians did with that verse? This. this light-skinned, handsome, chiseled guy with a nice beard and blue eyes. And we look, and that's what we did, because we had to make him attractive. Even though the Bible said, no, it won't be the physical characteristics. I won't make him beautiful and bald. I won't make him, that was a joke. I won't make him beautiful so that people would be attracted just to that. And Christians go, bam, look at Jesus. Now, yeah, I'm going to say something that some of you will go, that's sacrilege. You know who I call this guy when I see him in a church? Some of you know. Kevin. I'm like, that's Kevin. That's not Jesus. See, being attractive like Jesus. This is more likely what Jesus looked like in that day. This is an average Jewish man of that day. Why didn't the artists make that? You're not going to sell a whole lot of copies of that guy. You walk into a church and see a big painting of him. No. He just looks average. But look, why were people attracted to him? Talking about this in the temple when he was teaching. There too, the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. He spoke with authority. He knew the Father so well. He had spent time with the Father so well. He knew his mission so well. You look and you say, but Scott, he was God. And yes, he was. But he was also fully human. He was fully human. And I know that blows my mind too. What? But hang with this for a second. Jesus, as he's growing up and he's meeting with the Father and learning and knowing these things and getting reassured over and over again, he knows what the scriptures are. He's studying with the other boys. He's teaching. He's doing those things. And he's speaking with authority as the Messiah. You know how many times people will call me and say, Scott, I have a friend who really is interested in Jesus, hearing about it. Can I bring him to you to talk? And I say, no, you can't. You talk to him. Yeah, but I don't know what to say. Read the book. Study the book. And then just share your life. Say, I don't know all the answers. Because they're going to come to me and they're going to say, what about the dinosaurs? I'm going to go, I don't know. They're going to look at you and go, you brought me to this guy? He doesn't know either. There are those weird questions that are out there. I do know the confidence of Jesus. I do know him. Well, the music team comes up to close in John 13, 34 to 35. And Jesus said this, a new commandment I'm giving you. I'm giving you now a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Is that a new command? He said that a bunch. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Love. Do you think the thing that makes this new, and this is what Jesus said before he ascended to heaven, the thing that makes this new, it's this little snippet in here. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. The same way that we love each other, we cut each other that slack, we forgive each other, we love each other, we hang with each other, we model that. And what this is saying is, hey, love one another. Focus on that thing. Focus on the good weird. Be the people who provide hope. Be the people who provide an answer. Be the people who show grace. Be the people in an angry society who have peace. Be the people who follow Jesus and are known by that. Be the people that when they come and they show up, people say, oh, we were glad you came. Or they call us and say, hey, I know you guys always help. Here's something you could help with. Do you know we get calls like that from city officials? They call us. Why? Because we've shown that's our reputation. We're going to be involved in the mess. We're going to run to it. And we're going to serve in love. So here's the question. Why? Why bother letting people see us? Why bother not moving to Bubble Creek Canyon? Why bother? Bigger church? We want a bigger church. Let's knock out this wall. We'll buy two buildings over, have apartments, get rid of the apartments. Maybe we'll put in a parking garage, and then we'll do this. We'll seat 600 of us. Nope. Oh, we should reach more people because we want a bigger budget. Nope. We just want to be people who give hope, people who give life, people who say there's rescue in Jesus. We want to be those people. Do you know that if we grow to the point where 150 people are showing up every week, it's been our plan from the beginning that that's when we start to plant another church. Another one. Never to be like, oh, come on, we just added a bowling alley. It's awesome. It hasn't been that. Why? Because we want to show people and show them to the Jesus that we're going to sing about now. This Jesus is attractive. This Jesus is magnetic. As we sing to close off, think about this Jesus and how attractive he is.